So, it's come the time to talk about the bracha. And this week, or the next seder that we're going to read is Vezoisa Bracha. This is the blessing that Moshe blesses the Jewish people. And it's interesting that this is the one seder that we don't read on Shabbos. Simchas Torah never falls on Shabbos. So the Medrash says, "V'zoisa brocha sheberach Moshe isha lekimes bnei Yisrael lifnei Moshe." This is the blessing that Moshe blessed. Moshe, a man of God, blessed the Jewish people before he died. The Medrash says, "B'madasam Yaakov posach Moshe." The words that Jacob used to end his blessing, that's where Moses began his blessing. And at the end of the book of Genesis, it says, and this is the blessing that their father spoke to them. Zois HaBrocha. This is the blessing. So after Jacob has finished, you know, with the first of his children, he didn't really bless Reuben, Shimon, Levi. It's only when he got to Judah, the fourth of his children, that he sort of burst into blessing, and all of them were included in that. Jacob's blessing wasn't total for everybody. In fact, there was some cursing of the wrath of Shimon and Levi, and there was something of the stripping of the assets of Reuven. But when it's all over, it says, "Zeis Abrocha," this is the blessing that Ashadibu Lahem Aviyam, that their father spoke to them. So the way that Jacob ends his bracha, that's how Moshe begins, and the sedra, the final sedra in the Torah begins, "V'zois HaBrocha," and this is the blessing that Moses, man of God, blessed the Jewish people before he died. So there's a continuation. In fact, the Medrash says that this chain of blessing, that where Abraham left off, Isaac began, where Isaac left off, Jacob began, where Jacob left off, Moses began. You know, we've said often that when you look out into the world and you see God, that's the middah, that's the level of Abraham. And usually when a person looks out at the world and they see God, they're encountering the Sefirah of Chesed. Then we said that if a person looks inside himself and sees God, you know, that's usually Gevurah. That is the Midah, the Sefirah of Yitzchak, who looks inside himself, and that's awesome to look inside yourself and encounter the divine presence. That can be terrifying. Usually when we look out at the world and we see the beautiful sunset, or we see something where we just become moved by the presence of the divine, usually we're encountering something beautiful and awesome. And usually when we look inside ourselves and we become aware of the divine, it's something more terrifyingly awesome. And that was the middah of Yitzchak. And then we said that there's another way of seeing the divine, and it's the middah of Tiferes, glory. And that's when you look into the mistake of another person. When we look at another person, so we're looking outside ourselves, but we're not looking outside into the world like Abraham, and we're not looking into our own person. Instead, we look into the Aveira, the sin of another person. And we find there at the heart of somebody else's sin, their original desire, which was to connect with God. And that everything that we've been doing since the beginning of our life is really just trying to connect with the divine in us. The problem is, as we mentioned last week when we were talking about Yom Kippur and the function of the angels who complain to God, Mo Enosh Kisses Kreu, what is man that you even think of him? That there exists inside us those two angels that are constantly saying, you know, who are you? Who are you to even think that you are the representative of God on earth? And who are you to think that you've ever done anything worthy of being, you know, the divine vehicle? And so on, and the voice that never stops. When we look inside somebody else, it's so easy to see other people's faults. And really, when we're looking, like the Baal Shem Tov said, you can't even see anybody else's fault. You can't even hear about somebody else's fault unless somehow you connect it to yourself. The reason that Isaac couldn't see any of the bad that was in Esau is because he wasn't connected to it in any way, in any shape or form. And so it was simply invisible to him. So when we see something in somebody that's not good, it's because it's in us. So there's the lesson that we need to take. But on a more teaching way, it's not simply that when we look inside somebody else and we see something bad, that we really, it's a mirror of ourselves teaching us that we have that fault. There's a much greater, that if we look inside that person and we see that the source, that the struggle, that the ultimate, the sin that they did is a product of those parts of the soul of that person that strive for the divine. That we all have inside us she'ifa, we're breathing from the moment we take our first breath, we're just trying to reconnect with the Torah. The problem is that by the time we become able to function, we have become so self-centered by our needs, our hungers, our disappointments, our expectations. By the time we're 4, 5, 6 years old, we're already so riddled with the process of socialization, you know, and learning to be a child of your parents, and learning to be a sibling, and learning to be a student in school, and learning to be a friend, and learning to be an enemy, and learning. We learn so many things that we forget that ultimately, since our first breath, all we've been trying to do is reconnect with the divine, with the Torah that we were learning, that we were given in the womb. You know, the Gemara says that when we're in the womb, Behiloi Neiroi Ale Roishi, that there's a light candle, a lit candle over the head of the baby, that is lit at the moment of conception, when the neshama comes into this egg, to this zygote, to not even a fetus yet. It's just this cell that's been impregnated. Already there's this explosion of the DNA inside, and already there's a candle, a neshama, lit over the head of this person, of this baby. And the Malach teaches the whole Torah. And then comes the moment when we have to be born. Umalach Soitre Alpiv, the Gemara says that the Malach comes and smacks the baby being born on the mouth and forgets everything he's learned. and he forgets everything she's learned. And this is the inyan of peh goyme, this is the meaning of that the mouth finishes. We said that there's different layers, different worlds, the world of Atsilus, where we, things are archetypal ideas, and then the world of creation and the world of formation, the world of action. But ultimately, the ultimate world is the Olam Hadibur, where the words that we speak give meaning to the actions. Peh goyme, the mouth finishes everything. And in the body, the mouth finishes everything, because at the moment of birth, the body is not whole until the mouth finishes, peh goyme, and forgets, because the body doesn't really have a kiyum in this world unless all that Torah is forgotten. There was one person who was never hit on the mouth, who never forgot, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kvad peh, kvad loshen anochi," when he says, "I'm hard of speech, I'm heavy of tongue," what was Moshe talking about? That he couldn't speak? He didn't have any difficulty speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah into 70 languages. He was not hard of speech. What Moshe was is that he'd never received the slap on the mouth from the Malach that made him forget his original Torah. You know, Chvad Peh means that he didn't have Peh Goyme, he didn't have the mouth that finishes. His body was never born. All he had was the consciousness of the divine that he was born with. He never had that struggle that we have. Moshe Rabbeinu's objection wasn't that he was hard of speaking and he had stuttered and he did a speech impediment. No. He had a body impediment. His body wasn't real. It doesn't become real in this world until it's born into this world. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu's body becomes real and it forgets the Torah that it's been taught and so forth, that's on the day of his death. Moshe doesn't get born until the day of his death. V'zoi sabrocho, and this is the brocha sheberach Moshe shelekimis b'nei Yisroel lifnei Moisoi, before he dies. It's only when he is about to die that Moshe Rabbeinu's body becomes whole, as the Torah tells us, v'lei noslecha, that he was 120 years and his eyes hadn't dimmed, and his body humors, the fluids hadn't dried out. Moshe Rabbeinu was like a young man. Why? Because this was the day that he was being born. Because this is the day that his body gets to forget. Moshe Rabbeinu is a very special man. But the Zohar Kodesh says that Moshe melegav v'Yaakov melebar, that Jacob is the outside of Tiferes. And we were saying that when you look into another person's sin and you see how really it came about through the striving of the soul for some connection to the divine, and this striving, and by the time we get capable of acting in an autonomous way and making choices, our choices are so polluted and corrupted by the process of the body growing from being a newly born infant to becoming a person, an adult. The process of socialization and all the things that we have to learn and all the things that we have to lose. The process of growing up and knowing I'm not the center of the world. I'm not even the center of my parents' world. I'm not even the center of my mother's world. I'm not even the center of my own world. each of these things that we learn as we grow, and each of the lessons, the painful lessons that we learn in our crying and in our grief and bereavement and in our loss, and the toys that we lose, and in the comfort that we lose, and in the comforting that we lose, all these losses that we have to go through in order to become a person, and the autonomy that we lose, and all these things, they interfere and have interfered, and they govern in a way the person who is really inside trying just to reconnect with God. And so we are who we are, and we make the choices we make, and we do the things we do, and we go the places we go. That is the ability of Yaakov to look inside and still see, after it's all over, right? You see what the process of Yaakov is. After he's spoken to his children and told each one, unlocked for each one, the key, the doorway of his process and how he's going to get back to the source, then v'zois habrocha ashedibe avihem. What is v'zois? You know, one of the deepest Torahs, one of the most mystical Torahs in the world, is this idea of the Zois being the Shekhinah. You know, it says, Vayipach ba'apov nishbas chayim, vayi odom lenefesh chayo. God breathes into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam becomes this living creature, this speaking creature, ruach memalelo. What's the first word that Adam speaks, the Torah records, he says, Zois. This. So Adam is breathing out what God breathed into him. God breathed into Adam the breath of speech, Ruach Memalelo, the spirit of words, because Man denofach, medilei nofach, whoever breathes can only breathe out what they have inside them. And so God breathes into Adam HaRishon what, so to speak, God has inside himself, which is Ruach Memalelo, speech. So God, so to speak, breathes out from himself into the breast of Adam HaRishon, this divine spirits, which are the words. And the very first word to come out of Adam HaRishon's mouth is Zois. So whatever it was inside God, it comes out of Adam's mouth as the word Zois. So we know that Peh, the mouth, is Malchus, is the Sephira of Malchus, sovereignty. And the word Zois means the sovereignty of God. Another way of saying the sovereignty of God is the Shekhinah. So at certain times in the Torah we find the word Zois. As the Torah says, you know, we're learning last week that God says to Moshe, tell Aaron he's not allowed to come anytime he wants into the Holy of Holies, only on Yom Kippur, and only bezois yovei Aaron el HaKodesh, with zois. Even on Yom Kippur, there has to be this awareness of Malchus Shemayim, that God is the sovereign. God isn't sovereign the way he is. A normal human king is a sovereign, you know, king is sovereign because there has to be sovereignty. Because if everybody does what they want, you know, that's anarchy. There's nobody in charge. But if people all were law-abiding citizens and nobody had a Yetzirah to do anything that wasn't legal, then who would need a king? Who would need the Constitution of the United States if everybody was a big tzaddik and nobody had a Yetzirah, right? So normally in the world, sovereignty is only necessary because of people's proclivities to do what they want. So you have to have an authority. But if people were all angels, then why would you need authority? God's authority is the next level of Malchus, is the meta-Malchus, is the sovereignty which exists regardless of people's proclivities and what people expect and need to do. The Rabbeinu Shalem's Malchus is that of the Creator. The Rabbeinu Shalem's Malchus, the God's sovereignty, is that of the force which is going from nothingness through the creation of everything until the end of time. God's sovereignty is that which is the life force, not just the life of the universe, but the Chai Chaim, the life of the life force. That's Malchus. And that's the Malchus, that's the sovereignty of God, and that's the meaning of the word Zois, and the presence of the Shekhinah, the indwelling in the universe. That's all another way of saying God. Yaakov Avinu is the one who says to his children, you know what, if you follow what I say, if you go through the gate that you have to go through and develop yourself and evolve yourself and look at the things I'm telling you to look at, then Zois HaBrocha, this is the blessing. Moshe Rabbeinu is different, because Moshe Rabbeinu is milagav. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the outside of Tiferes looking in. Moshe Rabbeinu is the inside of Tiferes looking out. Moshe Rabbeinu begins where Yaakov leaves off. Yaakov says you have to go through the whole process before you realize that in everything that you do there is the divine, and that even in your sins you are nothing more than that person striving to reclaim their divinity. And inside the sin I can see that you've done, I also see that there's still that desire to connect. That's Yaakov. That's Jacob, because he says Zois at the end of everything. Moshe Rabbeinu begins where Jacob left off. Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Zois HaBrocha, because Moshe Rabbeinu is there on the inside of Tiferes. He's not looking in from the outside. He's looking out from the inside, and he says, listen, he says, it's not at the end of your process that you can look back into your mistakes and see how they were divine. It's at the beginning. It's from the inside. It's there at the beginning. I want you to know that you are, from the beginning of everything you do, you are divine. So stop thinking that you have to go to the end of the story, look back and do an analysis of your life, and then see with the help of a psychiatrist how everything that you're doing is basically, you know, recreating these childhood traumas, because behind that there's this pure soul, and that pure soul, see, you don't have to do that. Because Moshe Rabbeinu begins where Jacob left off, and at the very beginning he says, in the beginning of every Yid is this, doesn't matter what it is you're about to set out to do, it's all there. The divinity that is inside you is there throughout everything that you do. Why can Moshe Rabbeinu do this? Because he's Ish Elokim. It says, Zois HaBrocha, this is the blessing. The Zois, the Malchus, the awareness of the divinity in everything that you are and everything that you do. This is the Brocha, this is the connection. The Brocha means to make kneel. When you make kneel a camel, when you bend the knee, you bring down the head down to the ground. It's like Hamshocha, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Brocha is always like when you draw the connection, you open up the fountain and you turn the faucet on, and the water comes gushing out. That's the meaning of bracha. So Moshe berach, Moshe forces this blessing to come down because Moshe is Ishalakim. Moshe is the man of God. And there's two ways of understanding what it means, Ishalakim. Ish means man, and Lakim means God. So the Medrash says, there's a Medrash here, Medrash Rabbah. It says Moshe Rabbeinu was half man, he was half God. Ish, Lakim. From his waist down, he's a man. From his waist up, he's a God. There are different midrashim talking about, well, when Moshe was in heaven, he was like a god because he didn't eat. When Moshe's on earth, he's like a man. The other one says, no, it's the other way around. When Moshe was in heaven, he was a man because, you know, he stands in front of the angels and they're questioning him and demanding that he get ejected from here. When he comes down, he brings the Torah on the mountain and he's like God. But Reb Abin, the final medrash, Dova Acha, Chetziv Lemato, Ish chetz v'lemala alehim. What it means is that Moshe is completely integrated. Moshe is not split. For Moshe, there isn't such a thing as the natural world and the miraculous world. You know, all the great miracle workers, they work miracles, right? It means that they either take the world into the supernatural place, or they turn something into, you know, a moment becomes a supernatural moment, or, you know, there's something about the way the miracle is worked that it's outside of nature. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he worked with nature. Water, blood, water, whatever. He didn't have to, you know, like, take it and put it into some kind of another world for it to happen in. Didn't have to seal off this world and say, lock the doors and I'll make this miracle happen inside this room, the way Elisha does. He doesn't have to, because Moshe Rabbeinu is, he's half man, half God. Whichever half, you know, with Reb Tzedek HaKohen, one of the great students of the Ishbitzer, somebody came up to him and he said, I believe you know half of the Talmud by heart. Is it true? So he didn't want to be immodest and say, yeah, it's true. He sort of shrugs his shoulder. I guess if people say that I know half the Talmud by heart, I guess so. So the man said to him, so which half do you know? Oh, whichever half you ask me. Yeah. Reb Tzedek knew the whole Talmud by heart, right? So whichever half you ask me. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like, which half is God? Well, whichever half that you're dealing with at the moment is God. Which half is man? Whichever half you want. It doesn't actually say from the waist. It says, Michetze v'lemalo, from half of him and upwards, he's God. From half of him and downwards, he's a man. You see, if you're at the level of Moshe and you've never received the patch in Punim from the angel to make you forget, and your body's never really been born, then you're half God. And you're only half a man. That's why Moshe says, I have difficulty speaking, because Moshe Rabbeinu is still in the He's still in the breath that God has breathed into Adam HaRishon. The Zohar Kodesh has another take. The Zohar Kodesh says, Ish Elohim doesn't mean man of God, it means husband of God. And the husband says to the wife, get up. She gets up. He says, sit down. She sits down. So that's Vayoyim Moshe Kumo Hashem. Moshe says, get up, God. Moshe says, sit down. Sit down. God gets up. God sits down. And the Zohar Kodesh says, and that's how it is. Because he says, Isha Yikaimen, Isha Fereno, if a woman makes a if a wife makes an oath and the husband hears it, he can just annul the oath. And so if God says something and Moshe hears it, he can just annul it. Because Moshe ish Elohim, Moshe is the husband of God, and God is the wife, God is the matronisa. So she has to do what she's told, because it's his house, and he can lock the door, open the door. It's his house, he can do whatever he wants. That's the level of Moshe. So whether there's a legal difference or a hairline split between the Zohar's reading or the Medrash Rabbah's reading of what it means Ish Elohim, there's a difference, of course, but there's a lot of similarity, right? So Moshe, on the day of his death, he's not just human anymore, or according to Ishbitz, he's not yet human, he's just about to become human. With his death, he's about to pass through that place where the angel hits him on the thing and makes him forget. So this is Lifnei Moshe, this is before he dies. This can only happen to Moshe as he's about to step through the gate from this world into the next world. And what is it that Moshe does? Moshe has Toivas Ayin. The Gemara says that really Moshe received the Torah, he could have given it to his children. We could all be going to the yeshiva of Moshe and paying, you know, a la carte every day for each page of the Torah that we want to learn. But Moshe has Toivas Ayin. Moshe is very generous and he gives it away to the Jewish people. He doesn't say, oh, God gave it me. But here's a secret. Here you have to open your heart. Moshe kibbul Torah mi Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai, not on Sinai, from Sinai. Moshe, we've said this 100 times. Moshe learned from Sinai the whole Torah, which was that God chose him because he is the least talented, the least gifted of all the Jews ever to be born since the beginning of time. Moshe understood from Sinai that God had chosen him. Yeah, he was very great and he was very gifted and he was very, but he was nothing compared to any of his peers. That when Moshe looked at any Jew, he could see how God had chosen him, Moshe ben Amram, because so that Yidl looking at him would be able to say, hey, if you, Moshe, if you could do it, I surely can do it. So just as Moshe, just as God had chosen the smallest mountain in the world, as it was an excuse, it was an apology, it wasn't even a pathetic mountain, it was 0 feet above sea level. But it's a mountain. So God had chosen the Yid. He's 0 feet above a behemoth, but he's a Yid. And God is using him as the conduit through which to give the Torah. He's the vessel. If Moshe can do it, everybody can do it. Now, on the day of Moshe's death, he says, Kindelech, listen, this is the moment I'm going to enter you. Asheberach Moshe Isha Lekimes B'nei Yisrael Lifnei Moshe means, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and this is Ishbitza Torah, the Ishbitza says that on the day of Moshe's death, he opened up for us, for every one of us, from the beginning of time until the end of time. Every Yid who's ever going to live, he laid out for us what we need to do. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Hoyamuvcha, Moshe is the chosen one. And on the day of his death, the Ishbitza says, Nishlam Bishlemus, he becomes whole. As he says, I'm 120 years today. He's complete. And Moshe Rabbeinu, on this day, he opens up for us, for each one of us, all the gates that need to be opened up. And he shows us, each one of us. He says, forget waiting until the end of your life to look back and make all sense of it. You don't have to. I'm telling you that you and your life, you and your being, from the moment you are an expression, it's not in spite of, and oh, I have to look and I see, I can interpret how everything you've done, really, that was Yaakov's business and that came at the end. I'm telling you from the start. telling you right from the beginning, the Zois HaBrocha from the first word get-go is that your life is the expression of the divine. There's nothing else inside you. All that stuff we talked about as being the polluted soul it's not true. It's just the way Yaakov sees it when he looks in from the outside, but I'm on the inside. I'm telling you that you're just completely 100% connected to the divine. You are the expression of God in this world. You are 10 times, 100 times, million, gazillion times more talented than me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I know that you're stuck because, you know, you got hit on the face by the Malach as you were being born. I know. So you don't get it. But you know what? I'm going to give you, instead of being able to give you to get it, I'm going to put myself inside you. V'zois HaBrocha, and this is the Shekhinah, Asher Beirach Moshe, that Moshe forced to its knees and causes it to pour out, to pump out in a continuous stream of Shefa, Ishalikim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is half man, half God, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the husband of God, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's in charge, and this is the day of his death, and this is the day that God gives over to Moshe complete control of heaven and earth, and from the beginning until the end, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who makes God king of Bechalal HaOlam in the total emptiness, in the void of empty space. Ein oid milvadai, says Moshe, ki Hashem hu elikim, because God is God, Bashamay Mimal, in heaven, Valoretz Mitachas, and in earth, Ein Oid, there's nothing else. One thing, I want to end by saying, we've been given the tools, that's the thing. The first bit of advice that Moshe gives us is Hashem Misinai Bo. Trust your instincts. When there's something that doesn't look right, it's not right. The word Sinai comes from the word hatred. You can't get through life without some kind of judgmentalness. You need to have judgment. You need to be fastidious. You need to know when something is right and something is wrong, and trust that you don't have to be 100% open to everything. Like Shlomo used to say, you're going to have such an open mind, your brains will fall out, right? Hashem Misinai Bo, you want to connect with the divine. There has to be something that's not divine. You have to know it. And you have to be able to curl your nose up at it, you know? It's like, there has to be a sinner. You have to be able to say, I like this, I hate this. It's not, I love everything. That was the level of Yisroi. He says, Ata Yudati, now I know God is the greatest, because Yisroi tried every Avodah Zorah, every pagan worship in the whole world. He was completely open. I'm a Yida, can't be completely open. Hashem Misinai Bo. God comes, if I want to connect with God, there has to be, I have to love something and hate something. I can't love everything. V'zorach miseir lomoy, and he says, and seir represents anger and rage, and you can have a little shining from that. You can have something of your passion. You don't have to be dead flat in your life. You can have things that make you angry, and you can have things that make you passionate. Just a zricha. It should be like a little shining, and not like, you know, you let it out. And even a little lust, he says, the level of Yishmael, maybe not a shining, but an appearance. And you have inside you a myriad, besides those limbic things, you know, like anger and lust, you have, your body is ready to give you 1,000, 10,000 angels of help. Your body is full of angels who just want to help. Just have to let them help. I bless you and me that the brachas of Moshe should open up inside us and we should feel opened up. Like, can you imagine if you got a bracha from the Baal Shem Tov? Can you imagine if you got a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu?